Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Come into church with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That is wholehearted worship. It will absolutely change our lives.
The truth is, your entire life's purpose can be summed up with just one word. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young brings you the conclusion of his message, Finding the Answer, and shows you how to go all in on God's purpose for your life and why you'll definitely want to. That inspiring message is coming your way in just a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in his promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Finding the Answer, Part 2.
Now Solomon, I think, goes back to the early years of his life. He was a young man, discipled by a godly man, a godly prophet. How he became king, how he built the temple, how he dedicated the temple, how he prayed in the temple, how he brought sacrifice to the temple, how he studied the word and obeyed the word. But now he's an old man, and he didn't finish well. All of a sudden, he'd married all these women from all over the world for so-called political reasons, and now they'd brought all their pagan altars into Israel. All these mice had come, and now he'd moved away from God. And we see that, incidentally, in a little interesting thing. Don't miss this. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Hebrew word that is used for God is usually Elohim, which is just a pedestrian word. It's just a reference to God in a general sense. The covenant word for God in the Bible, mentioned 500 times, it's an interesting word. It's the word Jehovah or Yahweh. In other words, Solomon writes knowing that somehow he had drifted away from having a covenant with God. What does it mean to have a covenant with God? This word that is used, it means there is an understanding of grace. It means there is a hope that the Messiah would come and change this world. You see, that's a covenant relationship God has with Israel. And those are the words. Solomon does not use that word. He knows somehow he has moved out from under the covenant, the protection, the umbrella of Almighty God. So he does not use the word Yahweh or Jehovah. Interesting, isn't it? But he comes here and tells us, let me tell you about worship. He built the temple. He knew about worship. His dad, David, who had experienced so powerfully the grace of God, was a man after God's own heart. He knew worship. Solomon had worshiped. And now he tells us in these seven verses, follow me carefully, how to worship and how not to worship. That's big, isn't it? Did you know one of the things that distinguishes us from animals is that we can worship? Animals can't worship. We can worship. We're made in the image of God. We can call upon God. We can know God. The human beings, we have the capacity to worship. Ah, to God. He tells us, first of all, how to worship. Look at it. Verse 1, chapter 5. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen. In other words, when you came to church this morning to worship, did you guard your steps? Before you came, did you pray, Lord, speak to me today? Lord, I need a word from you today. Come and tabernacle among us today. Did you come with expectation? Did you come that a hope that God would break through and heal, restore, inform, guide, bring you through this dark place or lift you up in the place of opportunity you're in so you'll maximize your life? Did you come praying? That's what he's saying. Guard your steps when you go in the house of God. Don't go into church casually or flat-footed. Anticipation. You see, for worship to take place, not only must there be testimony and word and song and the teaching of the book, but there have to be those who receive. Those who come with open minds, open hearts, wanting to feel the touch, the reality of the living God. See, it's a two-fold way. And he says we come to listen. We come to listen. We draw near to listen. That's the first. He says, this is how you worship. You can sit in the pew, go through the motion, check off the box. I went to church. It was okay. And say, boy, you know, he didn't perform as good today. The choir didn't have the unction today. But you see, we come and say, Lord Jesus, I need your word. Let your spirit come and bring my life into reality with you. I want to catch fire, have meaning, significance, and confidence, hope. All of that happens in worship, private worship, and corporate worship like we're engaged in now. Don't come in tiptoe. Come with great expectancy. Come near and listen. And then he tells us how not to worship. And look, these are strong, strong words. They're a little frightening to me as I kept looking at them. He says, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools as they do not know they are doing evil. In other words, phony worship, foolish worship, is coming like a fool to church, coming like a fool when you do your quiet time, coming like a fool. And he says, when you come as a hypocrite, without sincerity, look what happens. He says, it's not just not a good thing to do. He said, it is an evil thing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely dangerous to go to church. It's a ferocious thing. It's a frightening thing. It's an overwhelming thing to go and say, I'm going to worship and not worship. It is the worship or the sacrifice of fools. And then he tells us exactly, precisely what the sacrifice, what phony, hypocritical worship is all about. Look what he says, first of all, in verse 2. He says, do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. What is he saying? He said, fools worship foolishly, engage in foolish worship when we forget who God is. We forget who God is. I had a member of the staff once in a meeting said, oh, we need to have a come to Jesus moment. Let me tell you something. I don't like that terminology. No, no, no. We use Christ as an expletive of all things. We got to remember who God is. Who is God? He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. There's no thought we've ever had, no emotion we've ever experienced, nothing we've ever done or said or not done. He doesn't know about. You don't have any secrets from God. I don't have any secrets from God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He speaks and it happens. All-powerful. Whew. This is who God is. He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. That's the reason I'm always sort of uneasy when somebody with a pious twang in their voice says, Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you and your Holy Spirit in this place. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is already there anytime, anywhere, any place, anywhere you go. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. Don't have to invite him. He's already there. So we have to understand worship. Worship. And then he would say that worship has to transform areas of your life. Remember years ago, this stands out in my mind. I got up and I had my quiet time. I was in the Word. It's one of those times when heaven opens, you know, and God speaks, and I guess I cried and I confessed, and he came close, and I was inspired, and it was one of those mountaintop moments, you know, you have, not every day. It was just a mountaintop moment, and I went in and ate breakfast with Joe Beth and the kids, and I went and got dressed in my suit, and I just was walking out, and I kissed Joe Beth, and I went out, and she said, would you mind taking out the trash? And I wanted to say, yeah, I mind, but I didn't. And I went back, and I got the trash, knowing that my oldest son had walked by that trash four times already that morning, and he hadn't even made up his bed, I'm sure of that. But I went back to get the trash, and there was some, it wasn't tied up, one of the little tie things, you know, and I saw some more apples. By the way, while I'm here, let me tell you one of my pet peeves. One pet peeve is when people park over the line and take two places. That just infuriates. I think that ought to be capital punishment. But I've got a greater pet peeve than that. That is those little sticky things they put on fruit. Whatever government regulation brought that to bear, they ought to go to jail forever. And they put them on evidently with permanent glue. I mean, it's unbelievable. What in the world does that do? Can anybody tell me? No. It's some gimmick, some company that I'd love to be the guy that makes those little sticky things. They put all the fruit in America. Anyway, back to the trash. And I got all the trash together and I put it on and it was full and I take it out and I remember I got to slam dunk it outside in the trash thing and some of it came out on my pants and Joe Beth said, we've got another one. Boy, I went storming back in there and I got that other one and I went out and this was the guy who just a little bit before, in the Holy of Holies of prayer, this is a guy who is covered in Shekinah, taking out trash. You see, my problem then and many times since, and probably yours, is we don't transfer our worship to how we live. How we think, what we do, because worship is to transform your life and my life in the mundane things as well as the big, big things that we encounter, is it not? So he says we are fools engaged in foolish worship when we forget him with whom we are dealing with, him whom we are worshiping. And then he says us the second thing involved here about foolish worship, the sacrifice of foods. Look at it, verse 3. He says, "For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words." You are a fool engaged in foolish worship, and I am when our worship is filled with words and dreams. We go to God and we've got our agenda. "God, let me tell you what I believe you need to say to me, and I want to make this deal with you." And God, 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 and we talk and we talk, and we have all our dreams and our aspirations and what we think and what we know and how we've cut a special deal with God, and we just talk. When God wants to say something to you and me, when in the world is he going to say it, even when we're trying to worship, when our mind and our tongues are just babbling? You have an appointment with Bill Gates. Oh. And you sit down, Mr. Gates, and said, "Mr. Gates, I want to tell you what I think about the internet, about the computer industry, and about IT." And you spend all your time telling him what you know about the iPhone and all the rest of it. And you walk, "Is that stupid? Man, you were the man who started some of this." I sit down with Albert Einstein. "Dr. Einstein, I had a course in physics when I was in high school. I want to tell you what I have figured out about this physical." You're with Albert Einstein. Is that insane? We with God. He might want to say something to us. Speak a word. But we're just, talking about dreams. And we quote scripture to God. I never understand that. Sometimes we just wait and be still. Elijah wanted to meet with God. Man, he'd had a tough time. Had a victory. Now he was depressed. He's in a cave. He said, "Oh, God, I need a word from you." He needed the worship. And, boy, here comes a tornado. Winds blowing. And he said, "Boy, God is going to be in this tornado. I know he's going to speak to me." But the Bible says the Lord didn't say a word to him. Tornado. God didn't speak. Then there's the earthquake. Man, the earth begins to separate. It's rattling. That'll get your attention. Surely God is going to speak to his prophet Elijah in an earthquake. But God didn't say a word. Then there was a fire. Oh, that's how God speaks. Here's a giant fire. In the middle of the fire, God is going to really zap Elijah and say the word that he needs. God went in the fire. Then the Bible says God spoke the way he usually speaks, in a still, small voice. We're fools engaged in foolish worship when we just spend that time battling around. Maybe God wants to say something to you and me. Let's learn how to still and quiet ourselves so he can speak. Okay? And then he talks about another kind of fools who engage in foolish worship, this foolish sacrifice. And look at it. It starts in verse 4. He said, "When you make a vow to the Lord, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in foods." And he talks about vows. Have you ever said to God, "God, if I get a good report on this health situation, I'm going to, or I'm going to start, or I'm going to stop." Many promises to God, he takes that seriously. Yeah. You see, if I tell you something, I want to keep my word. If I tell God something, I certainly want to keep my word. It's a vow. We made a vow, we got married. A vow. We know Jonah made a vow at the temple. "Oh, Lord, I'll serve you." But God said, "I've got an assignment for you, Jonah. I want you to go to Nineveh." Jonah says, "I hate those Ninevites." So he runs and heads out for Tarsus. You know the story. He's a shipwreck. He's thrown over the sea. He's swallowed by a giant fish, remember? And he's living in that fish. And I love this passage. It says he was in the fish 3 days and three nights, and then he prayed. I don't believe it had taken me that long. That's how far he got away. And his prayer is tremendous, but he ends up by saying, "I will keep the vow that I made. I think we landed in a psalm that pretty well sums all of this up. The 100th psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates. Come into church with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. That is wholehearted worship. And it sums up these verses as well as they can be summed up. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We learn to worship like that, just a little bit of that. Wholehearted worship as fans of the Lord God Almighty. It will absolutely change our lives.
Now, just before we end today's program, Dr. Young is here in the studio to share more proven truth about the transforming power of worship. Dr. Young, it's easy to compartmentalize worship as just a song we sing on Sunday, but what does it look like to lead a life of worship, and what kind of impact does that have?
The number one thing we are to do as Christians is to worship, certainly on Sunday, but also daily as we spend time with him. And also we begin to understand that life in itself is a worship. We are sacrificing ourselves every day in every way, whatever our vocation, whatever our calling, whatever we are to do. Ephesians says we are to worship in our act of work. In other words, if you are a roofer, let's say, you're worshiping the Lord. You're serving the Lord as you are a roofer. If you're a housewife, if you're a businessman, if you're a salesman, do it as if you are worshiping, as if you're serving the Lord. This gives all of life a supernatural meaning and is a beautiful thing. It's like the people who were constructing a cathedral years ago, and they said, "What are you doing?" They said, "We're building a building." Somebody else said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, we're building a church." And somebody else said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're building for God a place of worship." Put identity in your vocation. Let everybody know that you are working not for a company, not for a salary, but you're working according to God's standards, and your work will become a beautiful act of worship.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable. And sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-worn wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young gives you practical ways to change the world in your day-to-day life. It's a powerful message you won't want to miss.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.